Okay, we're in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yeah, my exact sentiments. Yeah. If God can't bring a tear to our eyes, what's left, right? Amen. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. You know, we had Christmas service last week, and we were looking at verse 9 and 10 is where we had left off. And I just saw that connection in 9 and 10. And let's just read that briefly. It says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." It's the reason why he came, born into this world in the flesh, that you and I might have a Savior, one that would die for each and every one of our sins and present forgiveness to us, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or have passed on, is what the Word of God is saying, we should live together with him. That's our eternal destiny. That's what we have to look forward to. This isn't it. This isn't as good as it gets. Well, it probably is as good as it gets, because it's not going to get like it used to be. Those days are gone. But we still have something to look forward to. Look forward to with joy. And that's what Christmas, in a sense, was about. And when we read that and told the stories, I hope, to our families and children around our table, that that was the greatest gift that could ever be given to man. And I beg you today, if you're visiting, if you're here, and you're not in a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, I'd ask you, open your heart and receive that gift. Because that day will come that he's going to return for his church. We might pass prior to that, but we're going to spend eternity with him. That's a hope that goes beyond anything this world is placing on anyone that's within this building or those other buildings that are meeting today in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't miss the Christ of Christmas. Remember, it was what we were talking about last week, because of gifts and food and, you know, flash and what do they call it today? Where's a kid? Eye candy or something? Is that what it is? You know, all this stuff out there. Don't miss the Christ of Christmas. And we saw that, you know, the innkeeper missed him, right? There was no room for Christ. His inn was full, or the place that he was putting people up, he had no room there. And it was like he missed the whole purpose of that celebration. We see Herod missed the Christ child because of ambition and stuff that he was more interested in. We saw, though, that the shepherds, religion missed him too, if you remember that. Miles, just a few miles from where they were to where he was born, they missed the Christ of Christmas. Let's not us, like the shepherds, let's hear those sounds of fear not, bring you great tidings of joy right now. A Savior is born. That's what we have to look at. But I started thinking, you know, we were on that don't miss the Christ of Christmas, and I want to get going on this, but don't miss the Christ of today. You know, Chris, and that's what happens sometimes. He's the Christ of Easter and of Christmas, right? Two times a year. But he's a God of the past, the present, and the future. He's a God of today, right now. In your life, in my life, let's not just wait for Christmas and presents and everything to, oh yes, we'll give him this time. Every single day, he's reaching out his arms and asking us, let me in. Let me walk with you. You walk with me. Let's see what we can do within this world that we live in for the time that we have. So not just Christmas or Easter. I don't know what's, I'm pretty loud right where I am, but Pat always tells me I'm loud anyhow. So I have a two-sided question before we get into that part of our text today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. A two-sided coin, if you would. How are you finishing 2018? Now, Brent, you just prayed that at the offering. How are you and I finishing 2018? There's a lot of stuff that went on throughout this year. Where has it put you today as we sit here? And we're finishing, what's left, one day after today, one more day to this year. And then the other side of that same coin is, how are you going to start 2019? We can't really say how we're going to finish it yet, can we? But we can make those plans within our heart. How are we going to start 2019? Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Try to remember that question, if you would. Verse 11 says, wherefore. You know, when we see wherefore in the Word of God, it's almost like the word therefore. Stop at that. What is Paul saying? Wherefore? He's saying everything that we've been reading and studying in this book, he wants us to think about not only verse 1 through 10, let's say, of chapter 5, because there were no chapters, remember? This was an epistle that he sent, a letter. Wherefore, all the things that I told you from the very beginning of this letter, the comfort that's being brought in, the promises, the hopes of salvation, I want you, wherefore, because of those, if you would, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And Father God, help us to still the voices of this day, all the noise, the thoughts of what we still have to do, where we have to go. Just help us to hear your still, quiet voice within us, that we might follow you in what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be looking at two words today specifically, comfort and edify, if you're taking notes. Comfort and edify, those are two words that I hope this year it strikes us, because these aren't good suggestions, these are commands that were given to the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit, which all of us know, I mean, they were given by God. His Holy Spirit delivered it into the heart of Paul, into his mind. And Paul is giving that to the church at Thessalonica, but the Holy Spirit is trying to prompt us today with these words to comfort and to edify. And you know, it's easy to say, oh man, the snare sounded great today. It's more than words of flattery. That's not what we're talking about here. Oh, you guys are just the best worship team ever. Well, guess what? Calvary Chapel in Littleton thinks theirs is the best worship team forever. But we say those things until you better paid. Thanks a lot. You're great, you know? It's not that verse 11 is trying to instruct us to comfort and to edify one another. And I pray that we can hear these things. Some of it might be a little bit rough. There's a sneak peek in there about when I asked, how are we going to start 2019? When you go home this week, do a little advanced reading, because in verses 12 through the end of the chapter, Paul kind of tells us, this is what's pleasing. This is how we should walk as Christians. It's going to look different in every one of us. We're not clones. God's given you gifts and new gifts. And when you go out there, this fits into your life. And people don't see you so much. They start to see something else. And that's Jesus Christ and the life that he's put within us. So how are we going to finish 2018 and start 2019? And again, if I have time, this says 8:06, so I don't start preaching until 11:20 or so. Just a little story that maybe this Christmas was big for our family. We had like 19 people at our house, and I'm sure some of you did. It was a bonanza for the little kids. Unbelievable. I say, I'm a great grandpa. I've got pictures where my money used to be, you know? Anyhow, one of our children, and I won't mention who, one of our children came up to Pat and said, Ma, you really outdid yourself this year. I mean, food, the presents, the decoration, unbelievable. And I'm sure your homes were like that. And I heard the response that she gave when she was hugging our other child. I did it because I don't know if this is going to be our last Christmas. not just hers and mine, but we don't know if this was going to be our last Christmas. Wherefore, comfort and edify one another. We don't have time to waste. We need to just, more than words, show people what you and I that are in a relationship with Jesus, what we know, the love, the comfort, the joy, the peace, the forgiveness, the kindness, all those things that go with our Lord and our Savior. You know what, this one's free. This one isn't in the sermon. Go to Philippians 3. How am I going to finish 2018? It's going to be different for every one of us. And I pray we all finish well. You know, Patton, when we brought Pat's mom out here and she was, you know, going into eternity, we knew it was coming. All Pat kept hearing was, God is telling me, finish well. Because some days her mother wasn't a joy. That, you know, and it's not just because she's my mother-in-law. I love her dearly and I'll spend eternity with her. But she used to say things like, you know, we really didn't like you that much. And but Pat kept hearing, finish well. And I think that's what we have to do. So how am I going to finish 2018? Philippians chapter 3 gives us the answer. Verse 13, brethren, that's all of us. I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing. You want a program? You know, there's the 12 steps. There's the 7 steps to higher consciousness. Here's God's one-step program that should be easy. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What were those things in our life that crippled us this year, that just knocked us down, that made us want to just say, that's it, I'm done, forget it, I can't take it anymore. Paul's saying, forget that. It's behind. And I reach forth unto those things which are before in Christ Jesus. He's like a runner that's just trying to get that little line that they put out, just stretch myself this year a little bit. That's what I'm going to do in 20. I'm going to forget about those things that I can't change a bit about. The things I did, the things I said, the things I wish I would have done, I can't. But now I'm going to forget that and I'm going to press forward. God, what do you want me to do? And then when I hear his voice, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I don't want to tell them when I hear his voice this coming year, can you just hold on a minute? Me and Clark got a nice fish out there we got to go catch. Can you hold on a minute? You know, I haven't had breakfast with Rick. I want to obey him. I want to follow him when I hear him and when you and I hear that, because you're going to hear him at different times in different ways. I pray that we just follow him. Let's get there. So back to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And I think this is going to be something that, you know, this, what we hear Paul saying here, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. This has, you know, it's almost like us, body and soul and spirit. It's got three parts. It's personal. I have to edify and comfort personally, myself in a sense. Stop saying I'm useless. In the kingdom of God, how can he use me? There's a, be careful how you hear this, self-edification. You know, people, don't worry about yourself. Yes, I have to worry about myself, because some people, when we walk in this church, we're defeated, we're discouraged, we're ready to depart, even life in a sense. And God is saying, I want to comfort you if that's you. I want to edify you if that's you. And I don't only want to do it one time, I want to do it continually. Then after we do that personal or self-edification, if you would, in comfort, there's a corporate to the church as we look around here and see each other. God is saying, comfort one another, edify one another, even as you're doing, but keep doing it. And then there's a godly edification where I think I need on my every day, as Romans says, present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God. This is his will in your life and mine. So there's this godly edification where we have to allow our spirit to just glorify him. So it's more than just words. Am I making that point clear? It's a practice. And each one of us have a special personal gifting that we have to put into place this year. What have you done with your gifts last year? Forget it. It's over. It's too late. You can't do that. But what are you going to do 2019 with the special gift that God put into each one of us? Every one of us has something special that somebody else who walks through this door needs every Sunday morning, every Tuesday night at choir practice, Monday young adult study, Wednesday night prayer night, men's prayer, women's prayer. You have something special that God has put into you that someone else needs. See, we have churches filled with self-edification. It's all about me. Everything I need. Everything I want. Oh, gee, that guy's never got up and said hello to me. You know what's a miracle? Look at this chair. Hi, brother. How are you? I don't think I met you before. My chair goes to you. Your chair goes to me. My phone calls you. Your phone calls me. The letter that I write and throw in the post office, that goes anywhere I want to put it. See, there's an action to this. We need to stop sitting around waiting for somebody else to do something. And if we hear his voice, God is saying, therefore, because we are going to spend eternity with him, because he has forgiven our sins, because of all these things that he told us, Doug, I want you to comfort and edify someone. So let's get down to comfort. It's still 8:06. Comfort. So what a word, comfort. It's a Greek word, parakaleo, the same word for the paraclete, who is the Holy Spirit, who God has sent. It's a derivation of that word, parakaleo. Paraclete is the Holy Spirit. That means to come alongside someone. So when he says comfort, not just words. Words are good. Don't mistake that. Oh, you look good, or thank you, your hair is wonderful, or, you know, gee, you're looking pretty good. There's an encouragement to that, but it's come alongside. We look at each other all week long to the point where we don't even know, some of us don't know each other's name. Well, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the whole, she wears the red plaid shirt sometimes or the green sweater, and she's got hair white as snow. That's how we identify one another. It means to come alongside. Come alongside with the special gift that God put into only Tom Pratt. Look out there. See somebody who's hurt, defeated, dejected, ready to just take off, and go to that person's side and say, brother, how can I help you? You might not have anything in your life that even resembles what they're going through, but we have the Word of God that we can give to that person. That's part of comfort. It's a verb. It's not just sit still. John 14. Turn to that. Like I said, it was the Holy Spirit that we first hear those words about. John 14, I think it's in verse 16. And I will, you know, here, if you love me, keep my commandments. These aren't good suggestions when we read God's word. We take them as commandments. We obey them or we disobey them. That's not up to me. I have no authority over you after you walk out this door. I'm just a guy that, who was it this morning? Donnie Mann. I said, come. No, it was Alan. Come on in. He said, what are you doing in here with the door open? And I said, come on, the woodshed's open. You know, I was in the woodshed all week with the Lord. Plenty of room for you, Rick. Come on in. I'm just sharing what God is showing me. So this comfort, this coming alongside, I'll pray the Father, verse 16, and he will give you another comforter. I'm going to give you somebody to come along. I can't do it. No, you don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. It's not comfortable. But don't say I can't do it, because he said, I am giving you the paraclete. He's going to come alongside. Not only will he come alongside, he's going to live within you, and you can do those things that you think you and I can't do. We can endure those things that we don't think we can even step into. For another moment, he's the Spirit of Truth, 17, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he dwells in you. Have we forgotten that? The Holy Spirit isn't just some enigma. He's not just some cloud of smoke that whiffs around through the world. He's God manifest in Jesus, who gave us this gift to live inside of us, so that we can make it day by day and step by step through this world that seems to be spinning out of control. I will not leave you comfortless, he says in verse 18. I will come to you. Jesus Christ himself. That's his worth. So when I take this special gifting, you know, it says that the gifts of the Spirit, he gives them severally as he wills. I've got the gift of the Spirit in me. You've got the gift of the Spirit. When you step up to that individual who just lost a loved one, who's going through some serious financial problem, through maybe a medical crisis, you are literally stepping into their world with the Holy Spirit, his power, his words, his guidance. Don't say, I have nothing. I don't know how to, what can I say to that person? God is going with you in that comfort to that individual. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't know how. I'm not sure. I've never lost that like that person did. I've never experienced that. Stop that. Don't think that you can't speak the word of God to someone because you haven't experienced exactly what they're going through. And what the word of God says in this comfort is, what did I say we were going first?
Second Corinthians.
I was close. There it is. Blessed be God, verse 3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. All comfort. Now listen to how many times, even in your translations, it's like 5-6 times in the King James. The God of all comfort, who comforteth in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Sounds like a almost like a New York flimflam, doesn't it? Give me 5, I'll give you that 10. No, wait a minute, 10, I'll give you 5 ones. And before you walk, God, New Yorkers understand what I'm talking about. So does Chicago people. Think right now of a time that you went through where you were crushed, where you were dejected, defeated, just, and remember how that comfort came into you. It either came directly from our Lord into our hearts, into our minds, into our head through his word. And all of a sudden, a peace that passed understanding came upon you, and you're here today. That's all you have to do. What kind of comfort did he give you at that time? Bring that to somebody else. Gee, I read a book. I'm not much on books, but it really helped me. Maybe it can help you. Hey, I got this one scripture. It really pulled me through that. This battle is too big for you. Stand and watch the salvation of your Lord, 2 Chronicles 20. Somebody who's fighting something, marriage, finance, health, and they're ready to give up. That's the comfort that God wants from somebody in here today. You go to that person. Don't, you know, and there's nothing, I get calls sometimes that says, hey Doug, how's your brother doing? My brother's doing good. Like the rest of us, he's going into eternity. When? Well, he probably outlived me knowing this guy. Stop calling me.
Call Teddy.
Call Teddy.
Amen.
That's comfort, man. That's comfort. Oh, hey, Ted, you know, Peter called and wanted to know how you're doing today. What would yours say? Well, tell him to call me and I'll tell him, you know. How you doing today, Taffy? Remember those days? Everybody'd call everybody else and find out, ask her how she's doing. She got blown up in the house, this lady, blown out of the house. Are we getting the point of comfort? It's more than just words. It's coming along somebody. Watching on Sunday morning when you're sitting here looking, boy, he looked awful happy. Go over there and say, man, the joy of the Lord was all over you. Just a word. What's wrong? How come you're weeping? Can I pray for you? Can I do something? That right there is the comfort that God wants from each and every one of us. The same comfort that he gave to you and I. Back to Thessalonians. It says, edify. Okidome, oikidome, something like that in the Greek, means to build up. So edify, that's where we get, you know, flattery. But it's not that type of edification, it's an edifice, it's a building up. You know, Craig buys a piece of property, tears the thing that's on it completely down and then starts again, and within months, all of a sudden there's this beautiful edifice sitting on that property. That's what God is telling us in verse 11, to edify one another, to build up into one body in the spiritual realm is what we're talking about. So how can I, with my gift, build somebody up? Build on their holy faith, add something to their faith, give them some scriptures that God made as promises, see if they'll take them as their promise. Romans 14. I jump around a lot if you're visiting today. Romans 14. We're talking about edify, to build up, to add to a structure that's already there, or to shore it up, to make it firm, to make it sound, is what God is saying to each one of us as his children to go out and do, not for myself, but for each other. You know, this is like boot camp here. That's all this is. We're here, we're practicing. We're being run through drills Sunday after Sunday after Sunday with people that we should love, people that we should know. This is nothing more than that. But what God is saying is, get out of here. You've graduated. We've gone beyond boot camp. Get out there and start getting in the trenches and start doing those things that you've been trained for, those things that you're gifted for. Get out there and do that. Edify somebody. Build them up. So in verse 14 of Romans, I ask you to turn there, it says, let us, that's all of us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Amen. That's what I'm supposed to be looking for. We're always looking for ourselves, which is, you know, in a sense, okay. We have prayer every Sunday after church. Come up and get prayer for yourself. But most of the time we sit there and we think about the empty chair or the one that's next to us. God is saying, I want you, Doug, to start paying attention in 2019. And see who needs some comfort, number one. The way I comfort you when you were ready to check out of this world. The way that you were ready to give up on life, period. Remember the comfort I brought you? Well, there's somebody else in here that's ready to walk. There's somebody that's ready to walk away from God. I haven't seen his promises. I've been praying and I don't hear anything. I've been doing this and I don't see anything. God's saying, you go to them and comfort them. Bring them some kind of hope. And build them up. See what's there already, and then build on that structure. What is in Proverbs, it says apples of gold are like words fit, or a good word to somebody is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. You know, we'd be amazed how much just one kind word of encouragement or edification would mean to somebody within the body of Christ. We're called to be encouragers, not discouragers. Oh, I'm just so tired of that individual. Oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, where's Tommy Olive? My first words to him 20 years ago when he pulled up in this parking lot was, what are you doing here? That was real encouragement, wasn't it? It's 30 years ago. What are you doing here? We're not called for that. We're called to encourage one another, edify, as you do. Keep improving is the tense of that word, to edify. Keep doing it. Well, I did that once and it didn't work. Well, rip it down. How many times have you had to knock a stud out somewhere or pull it down because it wasn't right? Keep on doing it is what God is saying. Keep on comforting. Keep on edifying. Keep on building until we're done, until I call you home. Keep on building. As you do, and that's what that tense is. It's a continual, ongoing process. Don't quit. You might have just been ready to quit in 2018, whatever it might be. Put your own personal in there. Family member, loved one, finance, whatever it might be. God's saying, don't quit. Keep on going. Keep on building. Keep on comforting. Like I said before, many enter this church defeated, dejected, problems that are going on that you and I haven't got a clue of why that individual looks like that, acts like that, feels like that, talks like that. And maybe that gift that God gave to you is the only thing that person needs to hear today. That word of comfort, that word of building up, that word says, I'll come over to your house. Do you want me there? That's accountability in a sense, but I'll come over and help you with that. I'll come over and walk with you this week. I'll lead you through that study of that problem if you want and see what God's got for us. That is exactly what God is asking each one of us to do, and it might be what somebody needs today. or soon as church is over, do I head for the door? Oh, well, that didn't move me today. Oh, well, I didn't like that song today. Oh, that horse and rider, yee-haw, that's stupid. That's a real comfort and edification, isn't it? Wouldn't that really make you want to come to church if you heard that in a supermarket or out in the... No. Am I going to encourage and build somebody up in this coming year? Or am I going to just head for the car, head for the door, just get out of there as fast as I can? This is our training session in here so that we can walk out there and face the enemy. And if we can't do it in here, we're not going to do it out there. I guarantee you, you will not be able to do it out there if we can't do it with one another. We're going to live eternally with one another. Can't we live cooperatively? Can't my words encourage and build up and raise someone up? So let's finish well. Redeem the time that we might have. We don't know if this is our last New Year's celebration. We don't know what's coming. What time is it? It's later than you think. No. One more. Where's my Robbie? Huh? Just one. Hebrews chapter 10. We will end with this. So everything we heard, comforting, edifying, even as we do, but keep on doing it, God's saying, in this coming year. Use those gifts that I've given to you, not to break somebody down, not to just tell them, you know, I've had it with you, I'm giving up. Build them up. Bring comfort into their hearts so that they might want to follow this path of life. And what God is saying in Hebrews 10 to us, it says in 22, Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Do you believe that God is going to do what he's saying in his word? Do you believe it? Oh, yeah, I do. Well, how long are you willing to believe that, though? See, that's what Diane and I talked about. We pray for 2 days, 2 weeks. If it doesn't come to pass, we kind of give up, or we think maybe God's not listening. We dealt with a problem for 8 years, and so did you, Peter, and our daughter with our grandson. 8 years wondering, God, are you even hearing? Are you going to do anything here? And right now, it's like the whole thing is new. Behold, I make all things new. Do you believe that? Are you willing to hear that voice and follow it? So let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's a rough one, isn't it? The enemy of your soul and my soul, that's all he does every day. Surely God doesn't mean that in your life, Rick. Surely that's not going to happen for you. Look where you've been all your life. You think he's going to do that for you, Pete? That's what we hear. And what God is telling us today with that comfort and edification, no wavering. For he is faithful, that promised. Amen. It might look impossible. It might look like I'm not even going to agree with that's going to happen in your life. But it says God is faithful. And he loves you. And he loves me. And he's going to do this, and he's going to bring that comfort, edification, building us up, not only as individuals, but as a church, and then to march out there like a bunch of Christian soldiers into a world that hates, into a world that has no love, into a world that has no comfort. That's what he's preparing us for. And let us consider one another. That's what that word meant this morning. Who's that? Who's that one? Whose kid is that? Whose little brat is that? The kid spilled. What'd he spill on me? Little Smokey's juice all over my shoe at the sun, you know. That's not edification. We're supposed to consider. And what that means, that's a term, that's an analytical term. It's almost like a math problem. Let us consider. Start working it out. What's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? What can that person use? Let me pray at least for you. To provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, we've used that as a club. How come you weren't in church last week? I wasn't looking at you guys because you had a new baby. I knew, but Katie went, ooh. When are you going to come to church? You've been gone for a month. That's not comfort and edification, is it? And I don't think that the Holy Spirit meant this to be a discourager. He meant it to be an encourager. He's saying, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because this is boot camp. You might not like this. 4 o'clock, we're getting up and we're running. No, I don't run at 4 o'clock, you know? You don't do it. You don't do that in boot camp, right? Anybody been in boot camp? Craig? Did you tip? Well, yeah, I won't go there. Not forsaking the assembling of the saints as a matter of some is as we see the day approaching. Why? Because this is our training ground. This is our training ground. So that we can march out there and like that sign says, you are now entering the mission field. There are souls out there that are waiting for comfort. There are souls out there waiting for edification. So I need to be, I am so broken, I don't think there's anything left to build. They need somebody that says, I can build that. Craig took us to, can I just keep rambling? Craig took us to this place on a lot in Denver. I'm building this condominium. We walked in, it was a 120-year-old plumbing shop. There were motors and pumps and pieces about that high. We were walking over it. Pat's going, I'll stay here. I'm not going to, you know. Craig is saying, it's going to be a condo. There's going to be this here. The living room's going to be over here. The kitchen's going to be over here. It's going to have a nice little patio walking outside. I'm sitting there thinking, this, my friend has lost his gourd. He took that and built it up. It took a while. That's why we're here. Not for sake, because you got to look and see what he saw in that building. You got to look and see that in William. You got to see that as we name each other. What can I do there? How can I add, build, comfort? So that's it. God be with us. Finish well, 2018. We only got one more day. You can do anything for a day. You can hang by your thumbs for a day if you have to. Just finish well, whatever that means for you. And in 2019, I think all we got to do is just say, Lord, give me one more round. One more round. That's it. Let me go one more time with you and see what he can do in our lives. Father, thank you. Thank you. As we worship you, Lord, may our hearts be encouraged today. May we walk out of here changed, and may we just hear your voice and then follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.